Baptist churches are famous for two things. You've seen one of them. You might be thinking you're going to hear the other, because they go on a bit sometimes. I mean, not me, but other guys. But you know what? It's a great sermon that we've seen today, isn't it? You know, people pay me to say great things about God. I happen to believe them as well, and it's changing my life. But when regular folk who we know and we love, people who are our friends and part of our families, when they share stories of how God can transform, then it really is very impacting of our lives. And it's very important that we listen and we learn from their lives. They're not perfect. If you live with them, if you know them, you know they're not perfect. They haven't got all the answers. But somewhere along the line, we've made out as though people who come to church know everything. Now, in my experience, people who come to church don't know very much at all, actually. But it's not about what you know. It's about what you do with what you know. It doesn't matter how much you know. It's about what you put into practice. There's a belief, a surrender, actually, the ladies use a surrender. And for me, it's all about today. It's all about Resurrection Day. The most important day in the church calendar, if you like. Because most folk would agree that Jesus is a great teacher, a great miracle worker. He has some amazing things to say, some very wise things to say. A remarkable man, but he died. And if he died, then he's in the same camp as perhaps Martin Luther King or John Lennon or JFK. Because good people die as well as bad people. And that's what happened to Jesus. And if that were the central truth of the Christian faith, then we'd all be completely wasting our time. In fact, one of the writers in the Bible says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're all wasting our breath. We're wasting our lives. We should be doing something else on a sunny Sunday morning. But if he does come back to life, if God is divine and Jesus is God, then death cannot hold him. It changes absolutely everything. One guy says this. He says, the hold of church beliefs and practices hang on the truth that death could not hold the Lord of life. He is, in fact, the conqueror of death. And when you see the way the disciples were, the guys who denied him, who betrayed him, who were scared and hiding, when they met the resurrected Jesus, it changed their lives and they changed the world. And that's the challenge for all of us. You see, the death of Jesus can be admired, but the resurrection demands a response. It shows us that Jesus' sacrifice really worked. That when we talk about him paying our price for the wrong in our lives, it really worked. It's like the price was paid, and Resurrection Day, Easter Day, shows us the check's been cleared. It's been cancelled. And it's great to hear folk, regular folk, talk about freedom. Freedom from obsession, freedom from fear, freedom from the past, and a hope for tomorrow. This is stuff that we should bottle. It's life-changing stuff. So you might look at the cross and they're in all our churches, and you might be, well, yeah, I can respect the fact that Jesus lived and died. I can admire that. But if he's alive, well, that demands a response. It's not just a good story, a simple tale like all the others. We don't just have the option of enjoying it. We have to do something about it. We have to accept it. You know, I often talk about salad. It won't surprise you to know that I'm not a big fan of salad. There are parts of it I like, the dressing and the croutons. But generally speaking, I'm not a big fan of salad. Now, I know the health benefits of salad. They're really good. And Wolfie, you know, he eats a lot of salad. He's ripped and, you know. But having the knowledge and doing something about it are very different things. I know I should eat more salad. Everyone tells me, some of you, bless you, tell me a lot, I should eat more salad. But putting it into practice is another thing altogether. And maybe you've been floating around on the sidelines of everything, intrigued by the work of the hub, intrigued by the good news of Jesus, and say, you know, I can believe that, like I believe in salad. But actually, the resurrection doesn't let us just believe in it. We have to respond to it. And by not embracing it, by not accepting it, well, it's like me leaving the salad on the side of my plate. Why would you do that for something that can give you such a change in your life? So I want us to be quiet for a moment, which I think is going to be a challenge. But as quiet as we can muster. And before we leave here, I'd just like you just to think about where you are. A couple of the folk who shared today talked about being on a journey. Now, that's really, really important to us. Journeying is really important. We don't walk into church with everything signed and sealed, with perfect lives and perfect marriages and every belief in the right place. That's not our experience ourselves. But we come here to work out together what it means to live and follow God. And that's a messy business. It is a messy business. But we love working together and journeying together. So I want you to say, well, ask yourself. I'm not going to go around with a microphone, as is my wont, I know. I'm not today. To say, well, what is your way? Where are you in this? Where are you on this journey? Is the whole thing nonsense? And if it is, how do we account for Resurrection Day, which has so transformed the world? Or is it something that I've believed in, but not really done anything about it, like Pete and his salad? I need to do something about it. Well, what? The word surrender has come up a few times. It's one of my favourite words in Christian faith, because it's the hardest thing. Surrendering to God's plan and God's will for our lives. You know, this morning at 5:30, there were a number of us on Titch Hill watching the sun rise. 9 years we've been doing it, and today, the first time we saw the sun come up. It was beautiful. And Rob, who was leading the service with Andy, he said, mentioned the skylarks. Now, I'm not a big fan of birds. I love the, I just don't know what they are. I know what pigeons are and seagulls and stuff, but I didn't know it was a skylark until Rob said, that's skylark. And I said, oh, that's what a skylark looks like. It was about this big and fluttered and made a lovely noise. But I enjoyed its song. I couldn't pick one out of a crowd, but I enjoyed its song. And I think faith can be like that for lots of us. You may not know everything about everything, but you could enjoy its song. You can enjoy the benefits that God wants to bring into your life, even though you may be not as far down the journey as you think you are. So I'll stop talking and we'll just be quiet. So just in the quietness, let's ask ourselves, where are we on this journey? And do I need to move today? Do I need to move along? We've heard the stories. We hear the claim of Jesus that he is God and wants to bring this resurrection life into everything and everyone, into the whole of creation and into our lives too. For us to be free. For us to know love. For us to find purpose and sense in our lives. Let's be quiet before we sing our final song.